The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas. Coming up, Gab Marcotti joins us to talk about the future of Zlatan Ibrahimovic after he bagged two more goals for AC Milan today. Also, Ali Moreno and Casey Keller reflect on what was quite a crazy night in MLS. We'll start, though, with the games that you can see, of course, here live on ESPN Plus. We're at the playoff stages of the championship. We'll talk about the second leg. Brentford beating Swansea by 3-1 to book a place in the final at Wembley. Remember, Swansea had a 1-0 lead going into this second leg. This was what playoff football's all about, Ian.
Yeah, it was. And it's interesting because Brentford, I don't think they've been in the top flight since the 1940s. So I think they'd be an interesting addition. They're a slick team. They nearly messed it up at the end and made it a bit nervy by giving away a goal. But I think they were the better team over the two legs. And they go through to the final where they're probably going to play Fulham, who are 2-0 up after the first leg of their tie against Cardiff City. So I think that will be a sweet football match at Wembley, that playoff final.
I will sidestep the obvious 1940 joke, Ian. Craig, overall,
well,
obviously.
I was thinking about sidestepping it as well, but it was the first thing.
And the answer's no. Thing it, carry it was, on.
Yeah, it was the first thing that came to his mind and my mind.
Craig, kind of justice was done after those poor decisions in the first leg for Brentford, you feel?
Well, look, they are the better side. They would have been kicking themselves that they didn't make automatic promotion in that last day after losing to Barnsley at home. But it didn't, you know, it didn't get them down. Clearly, they got the manager got a response from the players. They didn't play brilliantly in the first game in Swansea. The decisions went against them. But, you know, they were in complete control of this game. They passed the ball better. You know, until Pontus Janssen, you know, did a crazy centre-half thing and tried to back heel out a dangerous area with, what, 12 minutes or so to go, they really looked comfortable. And that, as you mentioned, that's what the playoffs are all about. It looked as if it was over. And then Brentford had to sweat it out because of a mistake by a centre-half. But Swansea didn't do enough, Dan. And I thought some of Brentford's football was excellent, particularly when they got the ball quickly into Benrahma, when he got on the front foot and they utilised the pace of young Watkins up front. And it will be a really good game if it is to be Fulham that reached the playoff final. We're going to discuss that, I know. But they're going to be two evenly matched sides if it is Fulham v Brentford.
Ian, why isn't there VAR in these games? It seems ridiculous.
Well, I totally agree with you. And I think they've got to give serious consideration to that because you don't want key issues. And after all, the value of promotion to the Premier League is put at £200 million now. So, yeah, we've got VAR, we can use it, and we should be using it in games as big as that.
It just, we talked about this before, Craig, just doesn't seem to make any, I don't know what the argument is for not having it.
Well, it's the usual, you know, it's set in stone. We didn't use it during the regular season, so we're just going to sit in the fence and be Neanderthals here, and we're not going to use it. Even though this is a separate playoff system now, the finances are so big. Why not throw a bit of VAR controversy in there? It'll get the team that goes up used to the VAR controversy of the Premier League because they've been pathetic this year. But you really hope, you know, when we get to the final, they've got no VAR. You know, it's a one-off game. There's no going back for a second leg. And a big decision is wrong. An obvious decision is wrong or a sending off. And we're not utilising the technology. It's 2020, guys. It just seems hideous.
The next match, as you mentioned, tomorrow, Ian, we'll see Fulham take on Cardiff. Fulham already with a 2-0 lead. They should be fine going through to the final.
Yeah, they should. Of course, they've got the USA player Tim Ream in their team. There's a lot of American players who used to play for Fulham, including Clint Dempsey and Brian McBride. of course, who's obviously seen quite a bit on this programme. So Fulham are a nice passing team. I think they probably improved a bit from the team that went down from the Premier League. But, you know, those three other teams other than Brentford who are in the playoffs, they've all had a recent crack at the Premier League and they haven't been good enough, frankly. So it would be refreshing to see a team like Brentford make it, and particularly as they're going to be in a posh, plush new stadium.
Okay, well, let's...
Well, because of all those American players that you mentioned, Ian, there is a Fulham supporters club here in the US now, I believe, which they've just decided that you're no longer invited on your next visit.
Almost certainly, I've just probably killed the invitation, yeah.
let's upset some more people now, Ian. We had Mark Ogden yesterday, and we thought, well, why not put you through the same sort of punishment today? Your Premier League team of the season. You've made some different choices to Mark. In goal, you've got Pope, but as ahead of Alisson, you've got Maguire in the defence. Henderson's in there with De Bruyne, Ings, Vardy, Mane. I thought the biggest surprise, Ian, for me was Mason Mount.
Yeah, well, I think he's a terrific young player, and you can only go on what you see during the season. And every time I've seen him, I thought he's been mighty impressive. Okay, yeah, the occasional dip in form, but he's a young player, but he is a very, very gifted individual. So, yeah, people will have their own ideas, but you're asked to pick a team for the season. And from what I saw, he would be my third midfield player in there. You're surely not going to argue about Jordan Henderson, the Football Writers Footballer of the Year.
Let's not go down that route. But let's... Let's stick, shall we, to Mount over someone like Bruno Fernandes. The anti-Manchester United agenda continues on this show.
Well, I didn't include Bruno Fernandes. And I remember saying on the show that he'd make a huge difference to Manchester United. And I was poo-pooed a little bit by some of the other guests on the programme. And that is what's happened.
Wow.
But I didn't include him simply because he only played half the season. So as simple as that. Of course, had he been here for the whole season, he definitely makes that team.
Craig, did you poo-poo Ian?
First and foremost, nobody bothered to send me Ian's team of the year, so I have no idea what it is.
Oh,
so, and if you think I'm scrolling through a website to find it, you got another thing coming. But I do agree with Ian on Fernandes. It's one thing we didn't bring up with Augie yesterday, because there was so many other things to bring up with Augie in terms of his selection. But I totally agree. I think as good as he has been and as good as he is, he was only there for literally less than half a season. And that was one of the reasons why I argued about the 18 games for Aymeric Laporte at Man City and also the 22 Premier League games for N'Golo Kanté, which, you know, ultimately that's not enough football to be in a Premier League team of the year. But yeah, we argued yesterday with Augie about why he didn't have Jordan Henderson in. Bruno Fernandes only because he hasn't been there long enough. As for everybody else in the team, I really have no idea who Ian selected. I hear he selected Mason Mount.
Here it is. Let's put it. Can we put it up?
Well, listen.
Let's put it up again.
Listen. Here's the thing. Before you get to the team, could Pope? There's an argument to say Pope could be and should be the England number one next year. Yeah. Now somebody's put a graphic up. Okay, we're off and running.
There you go. Now you can see it.
Well, now that somebody's bothered their backside, yeah, to inform me. I wouldn't have Harry Maguire in there. And I said that Stevie argued for him yesterday. I don't think I would have Soyuncu in there before him because I think he has had a great season. De Bruyne, Henderson. I would probably have... I wouldn't have Danny Ings because I would have either Marcus Rashford, Pierre Aubameyang, or Raheem Sterling, who's got 29 goals. And so I would have... three of those players in the team ahead of Mount and Ings.
That's harsh on Ings, though, isn't it? You keep going on about all competitions. This is only the Premier League, though.
Yeah.
Listen. I only deal in all comps.
But Danny Ings has only got one comp. What's he supposed to do?
Well, that's not... No, he hasn't. Yeah. He had a League Cup.
I mean, Danny Ings has got 22 Premier League goals. Only Vardy's got more than that. He's got the same as Aubameyang, and he's playing for a middle-of-the-table team in Southampton. He's been terrific, Craig.
How many goals has he got in total?
Can't tell you, but 22 Premier League. And we're talking
Raheem Sterling has got 29 goals in all comps and 27 in all comps for Aubameyang. I only deal in all comps. If you want to get somebody to have a discussion about Premier League only, get somebody else, because it's a reflection of the player's ability over the season.
Why do you deal in all comps? It's a completely unnecessary.
Because it's a reflection of the player's performance over a season in all comps.
No, but it depends who you're playing. If you're not playing, goodness knows who, in the Europa League, and scored 10 goals, you can't go all comps.
League Cup, FA Cup, Carabao Cup, Premier League. These competitions matter, right? And they count, right? Doesn't matter who you play. Let's go and have a look of a Man City or a Liverpool player scored more goals against Norwich City than any of the better teams, and take those off, because Norwich haven't been very good. We're bottom of the league and got relegated. I deal in all comps, Daniel. I don't deal in this elitist Premier League only attitude.
Elitist Premier League only.
It's a Premier League team of the year we're picking.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I tell you what, next time don't get me involved. It's quite simple.
That's it.
You don't even bother. Listen, you don't even bother sending me the team. Somebody just rushed a graphic up to appease me. Sod off.
Who would you have instead of Mason Mount, Craig?
I just told you. I would change the shape of the team. And I would have Raheem Sterling, Marcus Rashford, or Pierre Aubameyang in one of those places.
Yeah, but you said instead of Danny Ings.
I've just named you three players, you dope.
Yeah, but you can't play them all up there, can you?
I can change the shape of the team, and I can have two in midfield, and I can have somebody like Raheem Sterling or Aubameyang behind a strike force.
Right.
That's all I'm saying to you. Don't ask me now about who I'd have in, because I'm really not. You didn't even have the foresight to send me the team before it, and so I'm not interested. In fact, I tell you what, I prefer Doggy's team.
What is he like?
Ian, what about Soyuncu over Maguire?
Well, I wouldn't argue too much about Soyuncu. I think Craig's right. He's had a terrific season for Leicester City. He was suspended at the end of the year when Leicester badly needed him for those closing games, but probably shouldn't take that away. A lot of people had written him off. I just picked Maguire, not because he's been brilliant or fantastic, but I think, you know, last season, Manchester United had the worst defence in the top nine. This time, they've got the third best defence in the league. They've improved a lot. And I think his leadership and calmness back there has been a big factor in that.
Well, it didn't affect the points tally, because they got exactly the same.
Yeah, but they finished third this time.
Yeah, because others regressed.
Well, there you go. That's the way it works.
How many points did they get, Craig?
We've lost.
Get him out of jail.
Yeah, I believe it's 66.
Is that all competitions, Craig?
Yeah, 66 points in all competitions.
No, that's the Premier League game. You know, Man United fans want me to bring it up every day. I would have brought it up in the FA Cup final Saturday, but they're not playing.
We'll talk about that a bit later on. Just a reminder that you can join Craig and Ian on Extra Time today, answering your tweets. Check it out over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Lots of games in Italy today. Gab Marcotti joins me to talk about some of them. Gab, shall we start with AC Milan? The big story here is Zlatan Ibrahimovic with a brace in that 4-1 victory against Sampdoria. What's going to happen to him?
Well, he's out of contract in a couple of days. And look, I think it's been made very, very clear that he would like to stay. He likes living in Milan. I think he also likes playing big-time big time football in a major European league. And he knows, even though, you know, he says he's the lone wolf in the woods and the Norse god. The fact of the matter is he's 38 years old. And he knows that he can get more games in, play some European football. So there's a lot of, he knows he would like to stay. Equally though, he has an enormous salary. The club have to make a big call on that. I suspect the club will ask him to take some sort of pay cut, and then perhaps with bonuses in there. His agent is Mino Raiola, who of course also looks after Gigio Donnarumma, and that's important because if you're Raiola, you're going to try to negotiate a 2-for-1 deal, and because Donnarumma needs a new deal because he's out of contract in 2022. Not the easiest guy to deal with. That applies to both Raiola and to Zlatan. And the club really, really have to, I think they want to do a deal, but they want to do a deal on their terms. So and their problem is they don't have much leverage over either one.
How surprised are people that he's come in and done as well as he has, Gab?
Well, look, all those people who said, well, MLS must be rubbish because Zlatan's scoring all those goals, same people who forgot that, you know, he scored a ton of goals in the Premier League before going to MLS. You know, I think everybody knew that he would give Milan a lift. And look, he hasn't always played well. It's not like it's been an automatic thing. But I think what he's done very effectively, and dare I say, he's actually been humble. This Milan team doesn't, it's not just boot the ball to Zlatan and wait for him to do something. You know, Stefano Pioli still had a certain way of playing, and Zlatan integrated into that. And I think that's a great credit to him. The big question mark is, you know, do you bring him back at his enormous salary for next season when you know that, you know, when Zlatan's not around, it's not like you've got, you know, a spare off-brand Zlatan that you can bring in off the bench and then the way the rest of the team plays isn't going to change. So I think that's going to be another big thing that they need to figure out next season. Will Zlatan continue playing with the same attitude that he's been playing with so far this season? And if things go awry, is Zlatan going to become an issue? Is he going to take pot shots, which of course he's been known to do in the past?
Meanwhile, Gab, his tally not bad. Nothing, though, compared to Thierry Immobile's, but whose is at the moment? Another goal for him today, meaning he's, what, two off the record, isn't he, going to the final day of the season against Napoli?
Well, he needs one to equal Gonzalo Higuain, and, of course, two to beat him. And, I mean, I think this is going to be pretty special because, of course, it is in Naples. Thierry Immobile is from that area. Gonzalo Higuain, of course, set the record in Naples before, you know, as Napoli fans would tell you, pulling his Judas move and going to Juventus. So I think actually this is going to be one of those situations where you could see all the Napoli fans really almost willing him to go and beat Higuain's record, break Gonzalo Higuain's record. I mean, it's an absurd achievement when you think about it. I mean, yes, a lot of penalties in the mix. We know that. We've had this conversation about the penalties. You know, but to think that somebody could score a goal a game, somebody not named Lionel or Cristiano, do it, or Robert, do it in this day and age, do it for Lazio, is pretty remarkable. And do it in Serie A as well.
Gab Marcotti, thank you very much. All eyes then will be on Napoli against Lazio this Saturday.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Arsenal against Chelsea then. It is live on ESPN Plus, coverage starting at noon Eastern. However, preceding that, ESPN 2, 11:30, myself and Craig will kick off the countdown. Ian, it's the only time you're going to be with us this week, so I thought we may as well get your views looking ahead to it. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a good game.
Yeah, it should be a good game between those two. I think Arsenal performed heroically surprisingly heroically, really, to beat Manchester City in the semi-final. Tremendous defensive display by them and showing a grit we never knew they had. I think they might need to do that again because Chelsea are usually full of goals. But the other thing with Chelsea is they do let in a few as well, don't they? So I think there are going to be goals in this game. And it might be a bit like a basketball match. In fact, I reckon it could be quite a high-scoring final.
Well, that's it, Craig. Isn't it? From a neutral's perspective, you look at Arsenal's attack and Chelsea's weak defence that we've seen over the last few weeks, and Ian's right, we should see goals.
Well, we should, because we can't talk about Chelsea's weak defence without talking about Arsenal's weak defence. So, you know, it could boil down to that. Look, we've seen both managers in recent weeks change the shape, change the personnel, both scratching their heads, looking for an outcome that's preferable to the ones that they've been facing. And so the personnel and team selection is going to be quite difficult to call. But, you know, I think Arsenal showed enough against City, although City were sort of captain calamity and have been on several occasions this season, that front three in particular, if that's the three that starts, and Pepe, Lacazette and Aubameyang are so dangerous on the counter-attack. And we also know Chelsea have had a problem in the position in front of the back four in terms of Kante's injury. So it should be a really open game with, you know, and I would be surprised if it's dull and, you know, we're going into the latter stages where it's 0-0. I would be shocked if that's the kind of game we're going to see.
Looking at it, Frank Lampard has received a lot of plaudits, a lot of people impressed with what he's done in his first season. This will be a nice cherry on the cake, Ian.
Yeah, it will be. And I think a lot of people were saying at the start of the season about Chelsea that it's a rookie manager in the Premier League. He's got a lot of young players. They had a transfer ban. It would be a near miracle if they made the top four. Well, they have made the top four. I think Frank Lampard's made some big calls. He dropped his number one goalkeeper a couple of times during mm-hmm. the season, including for that final day win over Wolverhampton Wanderers. So he's not shy. Remember too that he gave as good as he got in a bit of a shouting match with the Liverpool bench in that game towards the end of the season as well. So Frank Lampard's made quite a big impression, and it really would cap up the season for Chelsea if they could win the FA Cup against Arsenal. But these two teams, remember, have met in two FA Cup finals already this century, and Arsenal have won them both.
Oh, more stats, Ian. But Chelsea go into it as favourites, don't they, Ian?
I think they probably go as narrow favourites because they finished higher in the league. They performed better in the Premier League. And people are saying, well, can Arsenal do what they did against Manchester City again? Was that a one-off? Can they produce a tactically cute and disciplined performance and maybe get the result that they need? I think maybe that they can, you know. I think Mikel Arteta's definitely got something. It's taking time, and he's going to need money, and he's going to need to rebuild. But there is a different mentality about Arsenal under him. I don't think they could have produced that performance at all in any of their recent seasons, the one they produced to beat Manchester City. So if they can repeat that, and remember, this is their route to European football, their only route to European football, they might just be the hungrier of the two.
So having said all of that, Ian, what's your prediction?
I'm going to go for the upset. I think Arsenal might win it.
Arsenal to win it. Craig, we'll be talking about this a lot, of course, over upcoming days. Just last word, Ian, as I've got you here, just your thoughts on the story that's developing regarding Bournemouth, who, of course, got relegated. And a big controversial point in that relegation was the fact that Aston Villa's match against Sheffield United should have had a goal. Hawkeye wasn't working. Therefore, Aston Villa get the point, which, in the end, keeps them up. Bournemouth are talking about suing Hawkeye. What do you make of this?
Well, I do feel sorry for Bournemouth because I think they've generally been worth watching and a breath of fresh air and a good story in the Premier League. But you can't go back and sort of re-referee the season. And there's an element of that about all of this. I mean, Hawkeye, it's worked about 9,000 times correctly. This was the only time it failed. I mean, very tough luck on Bournemouth. And great luck for Aston Villa that it worked that way. But can they really sue the company? I don't know. I'm not a legal brain, and it will get a complicated legal argument. But my gut feeling is they've got to just take it on the chin and get on with it.
Craig?
Well, I'm the opposite for me, and I don't feel sorry for Bournemouth at all. This club's been pathetic on and off the field this season. They've got a minus 25 goal difference. That's one of the key areas of why they've gone down. This is also a club that were involved in the ridiculous, pathetic incident where they were going to report John Moss, the referee, for giving a little bit back to one or two of their players. They had to retract that because they made themselves look utterly stupid. And they're making themselves look that way again. Look, it was not an ideal scenario. We know that. The people that run Hawkeye, the business, the technical boffins, they didn't want it not to be working, but for some reason, it wasn't working. It happens. It happens. And if Bournemouth try and go through with this, it would be absolutely ridiculous. They need to look in before they look out. They went down this season because they were not good enough. It's as simple as that.
Gentlemen, as always, thank you very much. Be sure to join us on tomorrow's show as we'll ramp things up as we count down to the FA Cup final this weekend. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just a reminder, tomorrow, 1:30 Eastern time, don't miss it. Alexis and Robert Lewandowski live on Instagram. Be sure to go over to the ESPN account. Feel free to ask him whatever you like, or Alexis, I suppose, as well. Check that out. That brings us to the end of today's program. Stay tuned, though. Extra Time with Ian and Craig. By the way, if you're eating, be sure to finish before the end of Extra Time, because this will put anyone off their food. Welcome in then to Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Ian and Craig with me. Craig, a lot of 66 points people have been tweeting over the last 48
Good.
Hours. If Liverpool win the league next year with 90 points, will Craig use his Manchester United 66-point logic and argue that Liverpool have regressed by 9 points?
No, because the points tally that City and Liverpool have been putting forward in the last 2 or 3 years supersedes what normally wins the league. So, no, because many, many seasons, 90 points would actually win the league. As Mark Ogden explained yesterday, it usually takes around 70 points to get into the Champions League places, which I believe 66 is 4 off that. So no, I wouldn't. Oh, and by the way, Liverpool would still be winning the league.
Yes, yes they would. Ian, do you think Premier League refs would be okay being mic'd up during VAR checks like we saw with the Portland-Cincinnati match last night?
I can't see it happening. Not at the moment. It would be a lovely new addition and would make things quite interesting. But I just don't think yet that in England they're quite ready for that. I think Mike Riley, who's the Supremo, I don't think he'd hear of it.
Are they going to go to monitors next year, Ian?
They've got to. I think they've got to because of the new directive from the International Board, or from FIFA, in fact, saying that that is the expectation. So I don't think the Premier League can put their own interpretation. Yes, the referees in the stadiums will have to go to the monitors much, much more.
And the referees mic'd up, though, would help, wouldn't it, Craig? It would make sense.
In what sense?
Well, that you know what's going on. If you're hearing
goes to the monitor, he's going to look at the monitor, he's going to look at the replays, and he's going to make a decision.
Yeah, but he's speaking to Stockley Park at the time. You can hear what's going on. I think it just adds a little bit more to the whole experience, doesn't it?
Not sure.
Oh, what's not sure about it? You know, it helps everybody.
I think it will happen, but not yet.
I like listening to the rugby referees.
Yeah.
So why is that different to football referees?
Because I like rugby.
Idiots.
Let's just get them over to the monitor first, right?
There's no place to hide from this logic, is there?
I've got no idea what happened in the Portland Cincinnati game, so I don't know.
No, this isn't just about that. It's just the fact that you can hear what the referees were talking about. It's interesting.
Well, have you seen the Major League Soccer
referees? It's like rugby. Like listen, exactly that happened in
listen,
the rugby.
The Premier League
referees. It would enhance it for the fans, wouldn't
it? Listen, the Premier League referees have had a tough season. But I've seen decisions in Major League Soccer. There is not one MLS referee I want to hear from. So.
Fair point. Craig, Danny Ings' turnaround this season after overcoming his injury problems has been remarkable. Can you think of any better comeback stories in recent years? And do you think he has what it takes to make it back to and start at a big club?
Well, I think he can certainly offer a big club an option. With the financial burdens that are no doubt going to be surrounding the transfer window because of the pandemic, he may offer a solution to even somebody like Tottenham, where, you know, if Harry Kane stays, he needs backup, proper backup, or he needs a strike partner if they want to change the shape. I'm just throwing Tottenham in there as an example. It may be another club, it may be somewhere else in Europe. I'm sure Southampton want to keep him. But I think he can. To answer the first part of the question, or one part of the question, is a player that I've used this analysis on quite a lot when we're talking about coming back from injury is Aaron Ramsey. When Aaron Ramsey was getting some critical analysis a few years ago, I think it was dutiful to remind people just how far this guy had come, you know, before they were absolutely caning him. Because at one point, and our colleague, Peter Walton, was refereeing the game. At one point, he was lay on the ground at Stoke City and the bone was sticking out his leg, right? Now, I've seen many a leg break in games, but I've never actually played in a game where there's a compound fracture and the bone is poking through the skin. For any player, Dan, to come back from that, and I don't just mean physically, because with modern medicine and surgery, most of the guys can come back, but psychologically, to come back and play in such a fast-paced scenario as the Premier League and Serie A as he is now, when he knows when he goes for a challenge, he's a split second away from that bone splintering out his skin again. I think that takes amazing mindset for any player. I didn't have to do it because I never had an injury that bad, but I doff my cap to any player who's been through something like that and can come back out and go in a 50-50 challenge and give 100%. I think that's amazing mindset and attitude.
Ian, what do you think about the future of Danny Ings?
I think he's been absolutely terrific. You know, he's a revelation. They absolutely loved him, and they still love him at Anfield every time he goes back there. Very popular with Jurgen Klopp. I mean, he just had such an injury nightmare, but he's rebuilt himself. And you watch him now, he's so alive, he's so crafty around the penalty area, he's so sharp. 22 Premier League goals, joint number two on the list, only Jamie Vardy Moore for a team in the middle of the table. I think he's nobody's number two or standby anywhere. I think, you know, he'll want to play. He's missed so much of his career. And yeah, I think Craig's right. In this kind of depressed transfer market that we have coming up now, you could see Danny Ings signed by a big four club who might even want to play him. You wouldn't leave him around on the bench as sharp as he's been. Yeah, I should see him just back into the England setup even.
Yeah, just quickly on that, and that's a good point, Ian, because with the Euros being a year late, you know, if he has another season like that, clearly he's going to throw in, he'll be gone. I mean, if he's another season like that, he'll be gone as a squad player, I would imagine. So the one thing he doesn't want to do, Dan, is go back to a scenario where he had at Liverpool, where he was struggling for game time, where he had injuries, and he's actually had to get out and play again to find his feet, to find his form, to find his sharpness, and start playing regular. The worst thing he could do, for most players ahead of a big tournament, is make that move and then spend 50 or 60% of the season sat on the bench and miss out on the major tournament.
Next question, which I think we already know the answer to.
66.
Will Craig apologise to Dan for his dopey outburst? Calling me dopey, very upsetting. HR.
Apologise for calling you dopey. You're a muppet.
Hurt my feelings. Muppet, dopey, cloth ears.
If you're fit. If you're thin skinned, if you're thin skinned and easily upset, one, don't come on this show, and two, don't do this job.
Yeah.
So if anybody tweeting in about apologies is going to be tweeting in for an awful long time about any subject.
Final question. Ian, would you like to share any sporting memory where the commentary crew went absolutely berserk during a game?
Yeah, 1940s at Brentford.
What do you mean by going berserk?
So I suppose like where everybody in the box just went crazy. I imagine I think
that's... Well, yeah, what about the
time? I was commentating once on a game a few years ago, and I said that the Newcastle goalkeeper, Mike Hooper, he was playing brilliantly, and I said, this guy ought to know his angles, this goalkeeper, because he's got a degree in maths. And then I suddenly realised it was English literature. So I said, no, it was English literature. For the rest of the game, all I could hear was the people in the gallery laughing. And the co-commentator beside me could barely continue. He was in fits. So I didn't think it was that funny myself, but the people around me were unfit to continue.
That's a good level. But I think what they're talking about...
I love when you make a mistake and the director reminds you about it for the whole 90 minutes. Maybe for me, it used to be grammatical errors. But I remember, it's got to be when Ian went like that, Dan. You know what's coming here, don't you?
No, I don't.
Go, go, USA! Had to be.
That was the moment I was thinking of, Ian, of everyone going
well,
berserk.
We probably did go berserk in that moment. Yeah, we did. We did probably go berserk because the USA were going out of the World Cup 1 second, and the next second they were top of the group. So it was quite dramatic. So I would argue on behalf of the commentators union that we have the license to go berserk that day.
But I think David Beckham mentions it as well when he scored that free kick against Greece, which guaranteed England a place in the Euros, that he just said the commentary box, literally, you could see it going crazy there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've
how did he know?
He could see it. Use his eyes.
Italian and Spanish commentators, who you'd think they were fans. They're up punching the air and dancing around when you're trying to commentate beside them. But, you know, they forget that they're supposed to be neutrals with a microphone.
Right. Craig, what point did you want to make? David Beckham didn't know.
Well, when David Beckham scored that free kick against Greece, the commentary gantry is a gantry. It's behind them. On the top of the stand, you can't see into it.
No, he said that he saw them.
We can't see them. Ian, we've been on that gantry at Old Trafford right up
there. You can't see up there, yeah.
Right, you can't see them. And by the way, Barney, my dog's just come over.
Oh, let's see Barney. Come on, let's have a look at Barney.
No, he won't get up.
Can you tilt the camera down? Can we see Barney?
He just reminded me. He came over to remind me that Man United had 66 points.
Oh, thank you very much.
Make sure you get that in.
Oh, tilt the camera down. You've got to see him. Oh, here we go. Oh, look at that body. Wow. Yeah, we don't want to see that. Where's the dog?
No, here. Right. Come here.
Poor dog dragged around.
Come here. Who's that?
Oh, Barney, don't want any of it. Oh, there you go. Oh.
Beautiful.
Look at that. He's got a heart after all.
Right. Watch me get this back up. Oh, no, what's happening?
Oh, God, we don't want it frozen there. That's better, good. We'll go away. Give people nightmares. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Excellent. Where am I?
Yeah, well, at least it's improvement from what we were seeing before.
Softy, you see,
extra time, then back on your screens tomorrow. Until then, goodbye.